First off, I just wanted to say that my name is Heather Milton Lightning. I'm Cree, Ojibwe, Dakota, and Blackfoot. I'm from Treaty 4. I'm not from this territory, so I'm a guest here, just like you are. And this territory belongs to the Wendat people and to the Haudenosaunee and now to the Mississaugas through a treaty. And those are really important things to think about. And the reason why there's a relationship that we have with the state of Canada as Indigenous people. We agreed to share the land. We didn't agree for mega cities. We didn't agree for uranium mining or tar sands or the destruction of the land and waters and everything that's sacred to our people. That was taken from us. You know, through the process of colonialism, through residential schools, through the forced removal of our children, through many other colonial policies. But the one that stands the strongest in Canada is the Indian Act. And the Indian Act defines who I am in relationship to the state as a Native person, as a First Nations person. And the reason why I bring it up is the Indian Act is parallel in its racist construct, just like the Immigrant Act, just like immigration policy. They're very similar, and the state defines who we are as people. What I find really disturbing is that Canada, as the government and the settlers that have come here, many of those people that came here a long time ago came here seeking a better life. You talk to a lot of the people that came from Ireland, from Britain, from France, from all of these places. They were fleeing religious persecution, poverty, war, all of these different things. And they came to our homelands and we agreed to share the land with them. But they, in terms of Canadian creating the state of Canada, oppressed our people in order to do that. And our struggle is about having the right to exist, as our ancestors always have, having good water, clean air, and the right to be, the right to pray, the right to be who we are as people, as our ancestors once lived. And so we understand when it comes to things like immigration and these federal policies, they're forced on us by the Canadian state, along with all of these social norms that come with it, like the hate of brown and black people in this country. You know, I don't know that many people know that Canada had slavery in the East Coast. It was an okay thing to do. You know, in terms of immigration policy, brown people were not let into this country for a very long period of time. It was only white European settlers that were allowed to settle here on our homelands. That's a problem. Shame. So when it comes to this notion that Canada doesn't have a problem with racism, that we're multicultural, I might challenge that. Because we have over 1,200 missing and murdered Indigenous women that the state of Canada is just finally starting to do something about. And yet these families have been fighting for years and years, to know what happened to their moms, to their sisters, and to their relatives. So when we think about justice, it's justice not only for our people as First Nations, but understanding that when people come here, they come here for a good life, just like what we're fighting for. I don't want to have to go out into the street and have to deal with discrimination. No one deserves that. No one deserves to be treated badly, like that woman on the subway. No one deserves that. But I think, you know, in the construct of First Nations people, my own family members can be really discriminatory because we don't know. And I think that's the challenge with this movement moving forward. Is how do we work together? How do we build relationships amongst First Nations people and the newcomers that come here seeking a good life in a good way? How do we challenge capitalism and neoliberalism? Because we know that the war in Syria and that the wars that are happening all over the globe, the bombings in Africa, all of that has to do with colonialism, with capitalism, and with greed. At the end of the day, this is about people getting rich. They don't care about our lives. So when it comes to international policies, we're fighting those policies, not only here in Canada, but all over the globe. We are challenging the biggest companies to be accountable for what they do in Canada. And that's how we see a tie to all of the people of color in Canada, because we know that you came here because you have to fight poverty. You have to fight transnational companies in your own homelands. You have to deal with states coming into your land and bombing you. And we know that we want to welcome you. But in order for us to do that, we have to build real relationships. And when I think about real relationships, I think about my grandmother. And I think about the elders. And in our communities, our elders are the people that carry our oral history and our wisdom. And I think to myself how awesome it would be if communities would meet together, have dinner together.
United will never be defeated. The people
united will never be defeated.
The people
united
will never be defeated. The people
united will never be defeated.
So the last thing that I wanted to mention is that, you know, we critically need to build a movement that challenges power in Canada, that challenges corporatization, that challenges neoliberalism, and that we need to really build from the heart. You know, in our communities, as Anishinaabe people, that's one of my nations, our warriors, the word in our language means Ogichida. Ogichida is a warrior, and those are the people on the front lines fighting to save the water, to save the land, and to fight for our murdering and missing Indigenous women. That word Ogichida means strong heart. And in my experience, the strongest battle weapon that we have is our stories, because we tell them from our heart. You know, in the global fight against the tar sands, it's the community members and the women speaking to the corporations, speaking to these global governments, speaking to movements like you that move people in a really deep way. And I think one of the things that I've learned is that Ogichida means strong heart. And so what I might say as we move forward, it's my hope to see a global movement around immigration, around the free movement of people, not just immigration, migrants, undocumented people. And we're understanding that we agreed to share the land, but that needs to be an equitable relationship. And the only way we're going to get there is to fight with our heart, to fight with the love that we have for each other, and to be willing to work together, to ask each other critical questions, to sit down and have dinners and build real relationships, because that's the power that we have, is to build a strong movement that fights oppression against brown and black people in this country. So thank you for listening, and I also want to say thank you to the original caretakers of this land, and I hope we can move forward in a good way. Miigwech. Yeah.